Welcome in to the June episode of the Sportslandia show here on KXRW.FM and KXRW 99.9 FM in Vancouver, Washington, your source for local sports that covers the greater Vancouver area. And we have one of our original guests here on the show from way back in the day. We're going to talk Ridgefield Raptors baseball, one of the earliest guests and one of the teams that we covered here, and happy to have them back giving us a glimpse into what is going on this summer with your local baseball team here up in Ridgefield. We have Gus Farah with the Raptors here. And Gus, if you want to introduce yourself a little bit and your role with the team.
Sure. Thank you, Darren, for having me. So I'm Gus Farah, and I am the Executive Vice President of Operations for the Ridgefield Raptors, and I have been here since the inauguration of 2000, in the inaugural season of 2019. So we've seen it grow all the way to where we are today.
And I know that we have some listeners who are undoubtedly fans of the team and know a little bit about the Raptors and the West Coast League as a whole. But for anybody who may be new or just discovering the local baseball scene, can you tell us a little bit about that history of the team, where it came from, and the league as a whole?
Yeah, the Raptors are part of the West Coast League, which is a 15-team summer wood bat college league that is between Oregon, Washington, British Columbia, and one team in Alberta, which is Edmonton.
Oh, wow.
It's comprised of high level college players that have eligibility left to go back to college, which means they have to have a year of eligibility left. They cannot have been graduated. The league serves as a development league like others around the country, where these kids come here and they get to develop as they go back to their colleges for a couple things. One is to become better college players next year. We will have many of these kids eventually drafted by Major League Baseball into the ranks of affiliated baseball. So it serves a purpose of development, and these kids are, highly talented kids that are showing off their skill and improving with a 60-game season during the summer.
And correct me if I'm wrong here, you all do not have a direct affiliation with any major league team. A local example would maybe be like the Hillsboro Hops, where they have guys who are already signed to an MLB team, and they're just down there kind of working their way up through single A, triple A, double A, all those ranks. You guys are, I guess, I don't know if independent would be the right word, but not directly affiliated with any one club.
Yeah, we're not, there's independent baseball nowadays, right? But we're not that. The way I describe it that's easily, hopefully digestible, is that we're like a level below the Hillsboro Hops. So when they get drafted, all the kids that get drafted by Arizona, as an example, the Diamondbacks, they'll end up in Hillsboro for their first stop. And our kids are still not professional. They're still college amateur players.
Okay, let's go into that. I want to talk a little bit more. How do you go about finding your players? Because if you look on the roster page, and I think if I'm reading this right, you guys have a big roster. I'm seeing about 40 names here for this summer's roster, and they come from all over the country, and I think a few Canadian players. So how do you go about finding or recruiting or connecting with players?
Yeah, right now we have a pretty full roster. A lot of things change in the summer. Some kids get hurt. Some kids have, pitchers especially, have already pitched a certain amount of innings back at their colleges, so they are limited to how many innings they can pitch in the summer. So there's a lot of things that can go into how long they're here with us. We'd like them here from June 1st to August 15th, which is basically the length of the season, but that doesn't always happen. So we are a little bit overstocked right now.
So do you guys... Do you actually have
oh,
to
where do we get them?
Yeah, how do you find each other?
Yeah. So we have relationships, around the country. As you can see, that roster has a variety of locations and schools that they come from. It's not just Oregon, it's not Washington, it's not just California. It can be nationwide. Well, how do we get the players? We have relationships that we build from year to year that are like any relationship in business. They get more comfortable, and we get more players from certain locations. We don't get players from every single college. That gets spread out just depending on where the relationships are and where they want to send their players. But we have a local baseball operations director, Jason Crone. He is recruiting the team starting in September after the season is over. And he obviously gets help from Chris Cota, who is our head coach and has been our only head coach, which is a big luxury. Chris is a junior college coach down in the LA area, so for 20 some years. So he has a lot of relationships with colleges that send us players as well.
Okay. Could a player basically apply, like with some of these college kids, guys who want to be walk-ons, and then they maybe send in their game film to a small school and work their way up? Are there any guys like that who say, you know what, I play on the East Coast, but I'd like to spend a summer in the Portland, Vancouver area and maybe kind of pitch themselves?
Yeah, I mean, the incoming requests definitely are coming to us all off season long. And we look at them as much as we can. It's easier to get some reference from a coach or a team where they have been already playing and they have a little bit of a track record. But yeah, I mean, we look at anybody that sends us information and try and determine, is that somebody that can help us? So yeah, I mean, it can happen. Do we keep a lot of those players or sign a lot of those players? Probably not, but it is open for us to receive the information and look at it.
Okay. Yeah, because as you mentioned, it's not just guys in that area. There's kids, just what I'm looking at here in the colleges. You have Oklahoma and Iowa and Michigan and South Dakota. So, like you say, casting a wide net and finding players from all over the country.
Yeah, there are another few leagues like the West Coast League. This one is a high level dominant league out here in the West Coast, but there are others around the country. So kids definitely get sprayed around where they end up playing. But we're not limited by geography for sure. Part of this is that we have a host family base here in Ridgefield in Southwest Washington that really step up and allow for these kids to live with these host families for the summer, which we couldn't pull this off without that. And it's been just a really loyal base here in Southwest Washington. And we count on Ridgefield because it's our home and we love Ridgefield, but we're also Southwest Washington's home team. We couldn't do any of this without attracting fans and support from all of Southwest Washington. So that's really important for us.
And you touched on it there. This is one of the topics I wanted to get to, so I'll lean into that here. I've been wondering, how does this work? What is the logistics for a life of these players? Let's say you take a kid who is going to college in Oklahoma and he wants to be out here for 3, 4, 5 months, whatever the length of the season is, and kind of the getting ready beforehand. Can you tell us more about that? What do the logistics look like? What is the day-to-day life of one of a Raptors player?
Yeah, I mean, baseball is a grinded out game. It's like I always say, it's a dirty finger game. It requires every day of working out, every day of developing. You don't get time off, so it's a busy summer. I mean, these kids have been mostly back at their colleges since January after the holiday break, getting ready for their own spring season. And then they went through the spring season and now they're in the summer season. So they came directly to a place like Ridgefield or a team in the West Coast League from their colleges. And they really haven't gotten much of a break yet as to, going home and spending time. So they're here. They work out every day. The only days off really are Mondays. Every other day has a game. There's six games a week. And besides the games, they're there 2, 3, 4 hours early, developing, hitting, throwing, fielding, and that's what they're here for. So it's their first taste into what minor league baseball could be like for them, where they're going to ride a bus, hours to go to a game. They're going to stay in hotels, and there's going to be, three or four people in a room. There's going to be a small per diem that they're going to use to be able to make sure that they get the right nutrition. But it's the first time that they get to see the other side of what it's like at first in minor league baseball, where there's not a lot of glory, there's not a lot of fancy perks. This is about grinding it out so that you can show up somehow and somebody can see you, and eventually you grow. So it's a hard summer. I mean, they're going to the gym almost every day to work out. We have a partnership with LA Fitness, and it's important for them to keep their bodies right, because the stress of playing that many games can wear a body out and create injury if they're not careful.
Okay. And that's always been a curiosity for me. And so you find the housing for them. You have, like you mentioned, you have the host family. So you have, I assume there's a variety of families, or a family could take on multiple players. You guys provide the housing, you provide the gym, you provide the trainers and doctors and all that. So, like you mentioned, it's a grind, but a lot of that is at least taken care of by the club, if I'm understanding correctly.
We want the experience to be all inclusive when they're here. We want to take care of them. We want to help them with their health, their nutrition. We want to definitely help them on the baseball development side so that they can push themselves as hard as they want to. I think one of the things that the league will show these players at the end of their stint is that they're going to, like I said earlier, they're going to get a good feel for what minor league baseball is like and what this daily grind is like. It's not beautiful sometimes, it's really hard work. And some of these kids are going to determine that they just love it and they're in it for the right reason, and they're going to keep grinding and go back to their college because they want to make a career out of this. Other kids are going to realize that this is really, really hard work, and that they might want to start studying a little harder because, not everybody's going to make it to the major leagues, obviously. And they're going to need to be prepared for life.
This may be kind of a left field question. I'm not sure how much it will apply for you all. Is the NIL era of college sports changed anything for activities like, minor league baseball?
Well, it has. I mean, again, let's separate minor league baseball from the West Coast League, because it's a different monster, right? These are amateurs still. But yes, I mean, NIL's affected everything to some degree. We're not seeing it here daily because we have the players that are developing into those future stars. They are not necessarily, they have not necessarily reached that pinnacle yet. But yeah, I mean, it affects our league too to some degree. Things like, there's players that we would like to get here, but all of a sudden they had a great season at their college, and now they're in the portal and they're going to go to a different college. So they probably won't come here because they're literally negotiating their next deal to where are they going to go, what college are they going to go to. So we do not see the NIL yet as a challenge to us, where we would have to negotiate or get involved in that business side of it. But the kids definitely are in the business side of it, and as they grow, they're going to get more pressure to enter the portal and transfer.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like it's touching every aspect of what we knew college sports to be. And you mostly hear about it with football and basketball, but I'm sure there's pieces of that NIL transfer portal era that are, those tentacles are going to keep spreading.
NIL is crucial right now in the success of these college programs. And, like basketball, like football, you do see teams, especially like at the World Series right now, that, have built a club, a baseball team, via transfers. not just homegrown 4-year kids. So yeah, it's definitely making a difference and affecting the makeup of the NCAA.
We're going to take our first quick commercial break here, come back and discuss more of the Ridgefield Raptors season, look a little bit at the schedule and the teams we have here in the West Coast League here on the June edition of Sportslandia here on KXRW.FM and KXRW 99.9 FM.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims in Washington State seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Their diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. That's BUCKLEYLAW.net. At Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
Welcome back for the second half of our interview with Gus Farah from the Ridgefield Raptors here on Sportslandia on KXRW.FM and KXRW 99.9 FM. Our goal on the show is always to shine the light on the local sports scene in the greater Vancouver area, from youth and college to pro, semi-pro, minor league, and everything in between. So we're happy to be talking about the Ridgefield Raptors baseball team, who they're in the midst of their jam-packed summer schedule right now, and mostly going to turn this over to Gus to talk about the schedule and teams and feuds and rivalries, but to let our listeners out there know, as we are debuting this episode, finishing up I'll call it a border battle here with the Portland Pickles down in Portland, but then a nice weekend homestand against the Walla Walla Sweets. I want to talk more about the names. I always love the names of, you know, minor league baseball teams or semi-pro or independent league baseball, some of the creative team names that we have out there. But if you could talk to us a little bit about the schedule that has been and what we have to look forward to for the rest of summer.
Yeah, we started with a bit of a heavy home schedule. We played 9 of our first games at home, and that's always tough because school is still in session, which means that fans, you know, it's family, affordable entertainment, and community gathering. That's what the team focuses on. And it's difficult early in the season when school's still in to attract people night after night. But you know what? It's been good so far. It'll just get better as the summer goes on. We currently were on the road this last weekend against the Salem Marion Berries. And we were lucky enough to sweep that series and win all 3 games. We currently are in first place in the first half. We have played 15 games, and we sit on top of the South Division. We still have 15 games left for the first half, and hopefully we can lock up a playoff position if we can win the first half title. And then we're going to come home for our weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 6:35 Friday, 6:35 Saturday, and 1:05 Sunday. For a series against the Walla Walla Sweets. They have been doing well so far. Now, look, it's early in the season, and these positions will fluctuate as teams get momentum, as teams get some players that show up. And what I mean by that is that there are 2 types of schools. One are semester schools, and one are quarter schools. So semester schools have already been here. The kids have already arrived for the start of the season typically, but quarter schools are just showing up. You know, kids from Oregon, kids from Oregon State, these kids that are on quarter graded schools, they literally are just showing up. So there's a long ways to go, but you know what? We got a good start to the first half. We're going to try and play through it here in Portland and then come home and hopefully get a good crowd to cheer us on, because right now we are looking like we're going to have a chance at clinching the first half, and that would give us a playoff spot automatically for the end of the season.
Excellent. Looking at some of the schedules, I mentioned some very interesting team names. You mentioned the legitimate Marion Berries is the team name to go along
yes.
with the Pickles. And you do have some of the classics, you know, Falcons, Knights, your kind of usual sports team names. But we have the Drifters, the Sweets, the Pippins, the Apple Sox, the Bells, the North Paws, and the Lefties. Quite the collection of
teams. I don't know the exact history of every single one of them, but typically it's something to do with the geography. And something, Pippin's app, their apples, right? Their apple capital of the world in Yakima as an example. For Ridgefield, it's not a dinosaur. It's a bird of prey. And it's because we have the refuge here, the Ridgefield refuge. And we just felt like, there were, we did a contest. Over 500 people gave us opinions about what they wanted to see the team named. And there were a lot of potato references, spuds, tater tots, just because of the history here in Ridgefield. But there were also a lot of birds because of the refuge. So anyway, I think the names can be very geographically relevant, and it just they're interesting names. I love, Marion Berries were added to the league last year. They've done a really great job, but it's a cute name, and it features what is going on down in the valley there.
I'm very much a fan of the geographic tie-ins with all level of sports. Sometimes we just accept the Los Angeles Lakers because they came from Minnesota and nobody really thinks about how LA Lakers makes no sense. But I do like the geographic tie-ins when you get teams that name it after their home base, something
Yeah, it's fun. It's
relevant.
fun. It's fun.
On the Raptors schedule, there's two teams I'm curious about. They're listed as non-league teams. So we have the Northwest Star Nighthawks and the Redmond Dudes. How do
Yeah.
they fit into the
So
West Coast League?
we're trying to add games, just because our season's so quick and short. There's 34 home games this year. So we have typically 27 home games for league, and then we try and add a few so that we can round out a schedule. And Northwest Star is a youth academy. Again, just like I talked about, that the level of the Raptors in the West Coast League is below minor league baseball, where like the Hillsboro Hops, the same thing applies to this Northwest Star Academy, which is they're a level below really the Raptors. And we not only play them, but we will use some of their players at the end of the season when we need to tighten up our line, our rosters. Redmond Dudes, same kind of team out of the Seattle area, and they've just become friends and people that we know, so that we bring them down for a game or two every year, so that we can fill our schedule out.
And talking about that schedule with our last few minutes here, I want to talk a little bit about the promotions that you all do. It looks like there's some weekly promotions and then maybe some other kind of one-off special nights that you have. So if you want to speak to some of that and let our
Yeah.
listeners and fans know if they're looking for a family-friendly way to take the kids out for a night, how they can get involved with
Yeah.
the Raptors games.
Yeah, there's multiple opportunities. We have consistent ones, like weekly. Every Tuesday's game is $3 Tuesday, and that is partnered with the Washington Lottery. And what that is $3 tickets, $3. There's some food options for $3. So that's just kind of in a family night, the way I look at it. And then we have constant opportunities for our fans to go home with items. If there are seven strikeouts by the Raptors in a game at home, they all take home a free Chalupa Supreme from Taco Bell. If we win on Fridays, they take home items from Burgerville. Saturday's new to us, which is a partnership with Chick-fil-A, where everybody that comes in the park on Saturday is going to go home with a free entree, which is a sandwich. It's an $8 or $9 value, courtesy of Chick-fil-A. And then we also bring in catering for Chick-fil-A, and we sell it at the games on Saturday. So just trying to give some variety of food, of opportunity, and of pricing, so that people feel the full extent of the family, affordable part of the entertainment. We also have partnerships. We gave out over $40,000 last year, as an example, to charity. And what are some of those things? Cancer, with Pink Lemonade and Waste Connections. We have a jersey auction every year. First Responders with Riverview Bank and Kindness 911. We give to the food bank, Clark County Food Bank, on a partnership with Safeway and Albertsons. We've given over $25,000 over the last 5 years. I know I'm missing some, but there's a variety of causes that you can come and support, but there's also a variety of fun and of themed promotions. June 26th is wine night. We're going to bring in six local wineries. You can buy a package, sample all the wineries, enjoy the game. Look, it's like minor league baseball to the extent that we have to promote and we have to be active and on target with what we're promoting for the fans and what they like. So, do we always hit the mark? Mostly, but sometimes we miss it.
And like you mentioned, there's basically every day of the summer, there's some manner of promotion going on at a Raptors game. So, best way will be for fans, RitchfieldRaptors.com, look for the schedule, and there's something every single day, basically. There's a kids dash for cash. You mentioned the jersey auctions, Thunderstick giveaway, drone shows, bobblehead giveaways. So, no shortage of entertainment, cost effective, family friendly. So, a great way to get out and spend a summer night and get out to Ridgefield, support the Raptors, a great local team, and opportunities to meet the players as well. We always like to leave on that for if kids want to go meet a few ball players and shake hands, maybe get an autograph.
Kids love it. Kids look up to these guys, right? For a couple of reasons. If they're a little bit older, kids, like let's call it 12, 13, 14, 15, they might be striving themselves to what they think is the love for baseball. So they want to see what these kids look like and what they have to do every day to be able to perform at that level. So they like to emulate that or look at it. But they also look up to them, especially the smaller ones, because these kids are a little bit older. They're pretty good at their skill, and the kids get addicted to it.
Well, we're up against it here on our time. Gus, if there's any last-minute notes or information you want to get out about the Ridgefield Raptors here to our KXRW listeners.
Yeah, just a couple things. We have two-day camps that we're going to do, one at the end of June and then one in July. We'll have about 150 kids at each camp. There's also a softball camp for the June 30th, July 1st dates. And we have a kids club partnered with Burgerville that you can sign up, get a few perks out of, and get some privilege at the game behind the scenes. Anyway, just thank you, Darren. I appreciate it. I always do. And look forward to it again.
Yeah, thank you, Gus Fair, for coming on and talking to us all about the Ridgefield Raptors. Again, get out there, check the Ridgefield Raptors website for the schedule, and a great opportunity to see baseball here right in our own backyard. And we thank you all for joining us on the June edition of the Sportslandia show here on KXRW.FM and KXRW 99.9 FM. We'll see you next time.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of the Columbian, proud to be Southwest Washington's leading news source. Since 1920, the Campbell family has owned and operated the Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
La programación de KXRW es posible gracias a socios como Buckley & Associates, abogados que ayudan a víctimas lesionados a obtener la justicia que merecen por más de 40 años, con licencia en el estado de Washington. Su equipo diverso habla más de 7 idiomas, haciendo que tus derechos sean más accesibles y fáciles de entender. Conoce más en BuckleyLaw.net. Repito, BuckleyLaw.net. Buckley & Associates. Hablan tu idioma.